All right, thank you for that. We are in 1 Kings chapter number 1, and we're going to look at someone who made a very, very bad decision here and how it cost him ultimately. And we all have to make decisions in life, and our decisions that we make really determine a lot about where we end up in life. Many of us have heard about the Donner Party. The Donner Party was in April of 1846. They were traveling west from Illinois with 20 wagons, and they came, they were a little bit later and they were delayed, so they decided that they would take a shortcut, although the shortcut would take them through a higher mountainous trail to get to where they were going, as opposed to taking the more well-worn trail. Well, they got stuck there in the winter, and out of their group of 83, only 45 survived, and they're probably well known for those that survived had to actually, they were actually eating some of the folks that died to survive. But it was a horrible decision that they made to save time. We make decisions in our life all the time. A lot of times we make decisions because we're trying to achieve a desired outcome. There's something we want, and we think the decision we make is going to allow us to get that which we want to get. But so often we make those decisions and we don't get the outcome we expected. The reason is because we make decisions, and sometimes we make decisions based on a flawed process. In other words, we are making a decision based on the fact we think this is the process that will get me what I actually want, and the process is not going to be right in the first place. And so we decide on that, and the process is we're never going to get us what we wanted in the first place. We say sometimes that people a lot of times want the product, they don't want to go through the process, right? We want a good family, but we're not willing to go through the process, spiritually speaking, that would get us a good family. We want a good marriage, but we're not willing to go through the process that it would take to get a good marriage. And we make bad decisions thinking that it will get us the product that we desire. The problem is the thinking is wrong, and it fools us into thinking we can achieve the right outcome. We're going to see that in this story. Adonijah at this time was probably David's eldest son. By that I mean eldest living son. There were three sons that were older than him. Two of them we know for sure had died, and one of them we're not sure what happened to him. So it could be at this time that Adonijah was the oldest son, and in his mind he felt that means that he could be the king. David at this time was not, he was towards the end of his life, and he was having some medical issues, and that's part of the story you read. That's a little confusion, but that's not the story for today. And so maybe in Adonijah's mind, David is not functioning as the king, and that's probably a little bit of truth there. And so he thinks that he can be the king. So he seems to be following the same path as his treacherous brother Absalom, who tried to, unsuccessfully, by the way, steal the throne from David years earlier. So Adonijah rounds up some support. He gets some of David's former key men, and he gets them on board. He even, as you see, they have a feast later, and we're going to look at those verses in a minute. He has a feast later to kind of proclaim himself king, and he gets these key men of David involved, and then he gets all of his brothers there, and he's ready. He's going to have a party. He is going to be the king. But in the verses we read, Nathan the prophet heard about it, who was not invited to the party, and Nathan gets Bathsheba, and they go in there, and they talk to David, and like, hey, do you know what's going on? David had promised the kingdom to Solomon. And so David finds out what is going on, and David brings them all in, and he says, Solomon is not only going to be the king after me, I'm going to make him king as of this day. And so what happened is, Nathan goes out, the priest goes out, and they take Solomon, and in the midst of all the land, they make him the king,
And he's going to co-reign with David until David's death. Well, a word gets to Adonijah and his party. If you have your Bibles open, let's look at verse 43 of the same chapter, please. I didn't give Joseph all the verses, and that's my fault. In verse 43, it says, "And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah," verily, he comes to the party they're having, and this is the party with his buddies to say, "I'm going to be the next king." Well, you know how that happens sometimes. Parties don't end up very well. And in verse 40, "And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. And the king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and all these other Ite guys. And they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule," an outward show that he is the next king. Verse 45, "And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gibeon. And they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang." That is the noise that you have heard. In the middle of their party, they heard this noise. They heard the sounding of these trumpets. They heard the noise, the sound of rejoice. They're like, "Hey, what's going on?" What's going on is your party is about to end. Okay? Things aren't going to go well. Look at verse number 48. "And also thus saith the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given us one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it." So he's like, it's over. Solomon's a king. Verse 49. "And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid. And they rose up and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar." You know what he said? They're having the party. They hear the screaming and all the excitement. Jonathan comes in and says, "Here's what happened. Solomon's a king. Bottom line, you're not going to be the king." And everybody gets all their gear and they pack it all up and they go home. It was time to go home. You know, pack it up. We're out of here. Nothing else to see. We're done. Why? Because Adonijah was trying to take something that wasn't his, and he was trying to achieve an outcome that God never had for him to achieve, and he was doing it his own way. But when you do that, eventually, you know what you're going to come to? You're going to come to a place where it's time to pack it up and go home. You're not going to get it. That's a sad thing. He had made mistakes in his thinking that caused him to think he could get something. We do that all the time in our lives. We make decisions. We try to get something that we want, not necessarily that God wants us to have, because we're not thinking correctly. We're using a flawed process. And we try to achieve it, and we'll get to a place where our life, like, this isn't working. This is not where I'm supposed to be. And you know what happens sometimes? People aren't smart enough to realize it's time to pack it up and go home. Try still, like we talked about last week, put that square peg in a round hole. You know what it's best? It's best not to have to pack it up and go home. But Adonijah made some mistakes. He mistook six key things, and I want to give those to you this morning that would help us to not get to the place where we need to pack it up and go home. The party's over. First of all, he mistook his ambition. Look at verse 5. "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself." No one else did that. "Saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen." Where did this idea to become king come from? Came from his heart, not David's. By the way, he knew. We'll look at that in a little bit. He knew Solomon was going to be the next guy. He knew that wasn't his position. He knew that wasn't for him. We see that in the way he acted out. But he was trying to do it because it was his own ambition. This is what we call blind ambition. When we desire to place ourselves somewhere we are not supposed to be, or have something we're not supposed to have. Sometimes our ambition, or you could call it our flesh, we decide that we want something, and that may not be what's best for us. It may not be what God wants us to have. And in our blind ambition, we say, I'm going to get this. And it's never going to end well. So he has this blind, he exalted himself, and he says, I will. That blind ambition leads to a willful determination. really that was a sinful. And so he takes the next step and he prepares himself. Now he puts it into motion. It starts inwardly. I have this ambition. And then we say on our determination, I'm going to make it happen. And then we start rallying the troops and prepare everything we can to get there. The preparation for him to be king was the last step. It was the other two steps. Understand this. All of the things that we will ever do that we should never have done are the result of a flawed way of thinking, usually a selfish, ambitious way of thinking. Long, if you've ever got into a situation you should not be in, and you know it, it's because somewhere down the road you had decided this was just what I'm supposed to have, and you blew through all the stop signs that are usually there that are telling you this isn't the right thing, and you just blow through it because that's what you wanted. Don't let what you want for yourself get in the way of what God really wants for you. Don't just try to push and soldier on and get what you think is best with you. Going to a place you want to go over where God wants you to go will always lead you to a place where you're eventually going to have to decide, I need to just pack it up and get back to where I was. Ambition doesn't change that. Self-will doesn't change that. Okay? By the way, there's a lie that we spread in this country. You can be anything you want to be. You can achieve anything you want, as long as you just believe and you give it your effort. That's a lie. Now, if it's what God wants you to have, you better work hard and go for it. But listen, I want to be a brain surgeon. That's never going to happen. That's never going to happen for sure. But that's just how it is. I just want to be this, and I can achieve. Look, I could want to be a basketball player. I'm not tall enough. Better looking than most of them. But you say, what does God want you to do? Because if it's not something you're equipped for, you're not going to achieve it. Let's be what God wants us to be and quit saying in our ambition, I can do whatever I want. If I just, now you can be successful in the things that God wants you to be successful in if you will put your head down and you work hard and do those things. But you might want to find out what you're supposed to be doing first before you let that stuff kind of creep in there. Your ambition. This is what I always wanted to do. Wonderful. Okay? But is that really what you were made to do? Is that really what God wanted you to do? If not, you can try all you want and it's not going to happen. Find out what God wants. So he mistook his own ambition. Sometimes it's hard for us to step back and look at ourselves and it's like, is this really just what I want? Is this just my emotions getting involved? We have trouble stepping back. By the way, he didn't ask anybody. He exalted himself. So watch out for your blind ambition. Secondly, he mistook David's silence. Look at verse 6. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why hast thou done so? Now, David had already made it clear that Solomon was going to be king. David was not confused about that. But apparently, he had not specifically intervened in Adonijah's actions. Now, I don't know why. It could be that maybe David misunderstood what Adonijah was doing in his life. It could be that because of David's condition at that time, he didn't quite understand what was going on, or he misinterpreted it, or maybe he just wasn't observant. But because David had not specifically come out and said, hey, don't do that, he interpreted that as being okay to go forward. You understand this? He's making a decision not on what he's heard, but on what he has not heard. He's making a decision based on silence, not based on actual knowledge. He took what he didn't hear as a sign he could have what he didn't ask for. Now think about that. You know why there was silence? Because he never went to talk to David. He just had already decided ahead of time. By the way, whenever we make bad decisions, we don't want to talk to people about it. We want silence. I don't know how many times, I'm not trying to be negative here, but I am realistic. People come in and tell me what they're doing, but they don't ask me what I think about what they're doing. by the way, I'm not God, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. But if I see something, I might point it out. Have you considered this? But see, that's what we do. Hey, come let me tell you what I'm going to do with my life. And I'm willing to drink coffee and listen. But I'm not going to interject unless you ask. You do that with your parents. Hey, mom and dad, here's what I'm doing. You ever thought to maybe ask them what they think? See, we want silence. Well, you know, pastor never said don't. My mom and dad never said don't. My people that I trust in my life that I talk to, they never told me don't. Did you ever ask them? We don't want to get the answers we don't want to hear. And I'm talking to me too. Because we just put our nose down and say, I'm going for this. And sometimes I've talked to people before, like, you know, and something, and I'm not the type to tell people either, because I have my own deals. I've went through my life, like, you know, told you so. Because I don't want to hear that either, okay? But it's like, you know, sometimes I say, well, you know, when you were doing this, did you ever think about this? You know, I had that thought, but I just didn't really, because you didn't ask anybody. Don't mistake silence as saying, it's okay. David never said it was okay. And you know, I prayed about this, and God didn't tell me no. Did he tell you yes? Well, you know, God usually does, and it didn't happen this time. By the way, don't pray and ask God to give you an answer for something if the answer is already in the Bible. Hello. You know, we want to be Gideon. Gideon threw the fleece out there. Lord said, go beat the, you know, take care of the Midianites. Well, I'm going to set this out here and the fleece, and if the dew is on the grass but on the fleece, then I know that you said that, Lord. And that's exactly what happened. He goes, okay, well, maybe that was just, you know, that was going to happen anyhow. Let's flip it the next night. Now, God in his grace allowed that, but that's not how God does things. Okay, you with me? God knew in this situation he was seriously afraid, and he was fighting an army that was, you know, that he was going to fight eventually with just 300 people, so he needed a little extra help. But don't do that to God, okay? Pray about things. I get, well, you know, I just prayed about it, and so I think I'm just going to go forward. That's wonderful. But you might want to search the scripture. And sometimes you pray and you ask, talk to other people, and God will use other people to point out things maybe from scripture you weren't thinking about. Or maybe point out some things that were just common sense. By the way, this can happen in so many different areas. Here's a husband, man. I'm going to do this big thing. I'm going to quit my job. We're going to sell our house. And I'm going to start an ice cream company. Okay. Did you ask your wife about that? I'm the man of the house. You may be the only man in the house, okay? You know, my wife will allow me, in most instances, to make the decision, like, we're going to go do this. I think God wants me to do this. If I told my wife, God wants us to sell everything and move tomorrow to Outer Mongolia, my wife would be on board with it. I already know her. But I'd ask her about it. Honey, I think God wants me to be a missionary to Outer Mongolia. I know what she would say. Why don't we go to Inner Mongolia? That's better. Do they have Mongolian barbecues there? I'm not going to I'm going to ask her, because she might point, I didn't ask her before we went to Florida. That was probably my mistake too. But we don't ask because we want silence so we can do what we want and no one can point out something that might make sense. Okay, let's move on. I think I'm losing friends there. Remember, make decisions based on what God is saying, not on what he's not saying. Next, he mistook his upbringing. Look at verse 6. He also was a good, very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. You know, he's just like, I got it going on. By the way, we all think better of ourselves than we really are, right? When I used to coach our teams, I remember we'd get these kids in school. It's like, you know, I was a girls' volleyball coach, a guys' basketball, football. They come in, I can play. I used to play on my school where I used to go to. And I'm like, that's great, because, you know, I'm all about winning. I hate to lose. I'm like, hey, we got a good player here. And we get them on the court, and it's like, you know, I was a starter on my school's volleyball team. I'm like, your school's volleyball team must not have been very good, because you are going to be delivering water. People are always better than they think they are. I'm always better than I think I am. You're always better than you think you are. Let's be very careful about that. Okay? I'm a goodly man, and I'm after Absalom, and Absalom's dead. I'm the guy. David didn't think so. And God didn't think so either, by the way. But he mistook his own ambition. Let me just say this. You're usually prepared for a job that's kind of out of your league when you don't think you are. Paul was the greatest character in the New Testament. You know what he said? I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the least of the apostles. And he could have got up and said, I'm the best, because he was. That's not the thinking. Number four, we have to hurry. He mistook others' approval. Look at verse 7. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Now, Joab was a guy you don't want to meet in a dark alley. But Joab is a confusing individual. I like him half the time. The other half of the time, he's as disloyal as could be. But now, if you're walking through a dark alley, I want him on my side. Okay? But he was not the most loyal guy in the world. And sometimes he did what he wanted, not what the king wanted. But he was a tough dude. You want him on your side. And Abiathar the priest, one of the religious leaders, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. Joab's on board. Abiathar's on board. By the way, you know who we go to when we're making a bad decision? When we do go to somebody, we go to someone that's going to put a stamp of approval, usually someone that doesn't have enough common sense to come in out of the rain. Our buddies, right? You don't go to someone, you kids, you don't go to your parents and say, hey, what do you, I'm going to date this person, I'm interested, what do you think? By the way, mom and dad know a lot sometimes, okay? You fall for her little skirt, and mom's like, you might want to be careful there. You know what we go to our buddies that don't have common, they don't have a clue. I like really think she's like cute, man. Oh yeah, go for it. It's like, really, that kid, he didn't graduate from kindergarten. Okay, now I'm being facetious. We go to people we know will give us the answers we want to hear, not to people we know will actually think the situation through. Yes, man. You don't want a yes, man. He went to these people like, we're on board. You know why they're on board? Because if they're on board with the new king, Joab's going to keep his position. By the way, there was someone better in the wings. The guy he didn't invite, Benaiah, that dude made Joab look like a sissy. That's the guy you really want to be with. But Joab, I'll keep my position. Abiathar, hey, I'll have an exalted position because I'm with the king. So he went to the wrong people. Be careful who you allow to give you approval. Number five, and this goes along. He mistook the glaring omissions. Verse 8. But Zadok, the priest. Now, Zadok wasn't just like Abiathar. Zadok was the high priest. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, read the story later. When it's time for the executions to be sent out, he's like, hey, can you handle that? Benaiah, yeah, give me a sword. It's over. Okay? That's going to be the guy that's heading the army. Nathan the prophet, the guy that speaks for God. Okay? These are key people. And then the mighty men which belong to David. Okay? Read the story of David's mighty men. They didn't need an army. They were the army. These guys were tough. These were the guys. But you know what? These were David's guys. So they knew what David wanted, and he would not allow them in purposely. See, we ignore the people that should be on board with us, and we run to the people that'll just tell us what we want to hear. That's a problem. You know who you want as friends? You want people that challenge you. You want people that are going to push you forward spiritually. Not someone that's going to drag you down. Amen. We avoid the people that would push us to where God wants us to be. Okay? I had to make a choice of friends when I started serving the Lord. I love my buddies. I tried bringing them to church. Some of them I did bring to church and they trusted Christ. But if they were not on board with Christ, although I loved them and I was there for them, I wasn't going to hang with them. I wanted to be with the new crowd. I want to be with the crowd that pushed me to church, that pushed me to serve God with my life. That's who I wanted to be with. I hope that you do too. Don't push out those that will push you in the right direction. And then lastly, he mistook his qualifications. Verse 9, he has a party. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen, fat cat. He's just, party's on. I am the guy. And he never was meant to be. God has uniquely made you who you are. Okay? By the way, be happy with who you are. We live in a society where we don't want to be happy with who we are. That, what do you think transgenderism is? I'm a male trapped in a female body. Science says no. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what the mayor of our city says. Science tells you no. God tells you no. It's amazing that that's actually even something. You say that in church, it's controversial. What, that you're a man or you're a woman? Get over it. You know why we're not happy with what God made us? God gave you a skill set. God gave you a personality. God uniquely gifted you for what he wants you to do in life. Quit looking at others. Because when we look, he's looking at the thing like, that's the job I want. I want to be king. God had something for him. Now, it ends up being a graveyard because he's still disloyal later. But God had something for him. It wasn't a king. Just because it wasn't a kingdom doesn't mean that it wasn't good. But he didn't want to be what God wanted him to be. He wanted to be something God did not want him to be. Find where God wants for you, what God wants for you. Find where God has. That's where fulfillment comes from. Not from trying to do something you think you should do, but God says, I never wanted you to do. And Adonijah, it was time to pack it up and go home. Why? He tried to do what he wanted to do in place of what God had specifically and uniquely created for him to do. Let's not make that same mistake, shall we? Why don't we just, you say, well, what does God want me to do? Let me help you with that. I have no clue in one area. In the other area, I know exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to do, first of all, everything that this book tells you to do. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to be a good Christian. If you're married, he wants you to be a good spouse. If you have children, he's praying for you. He wants you to be a good parent. He wants you to share his love with this world. If we do that part, God will lead us to where the other parts go. If we just be open to it. Let's not try to force what we want into what God already has for us. Like Adonijah. Because you'll look at your life and it's like, this party's over. I should have packed this up a long time ago. By the way, I've made wrong choices in my life. I've been in bad areas in my life, my mistakes. The only good thing about them is I've come to enough conclusion to say, I need to pack it up and get to where God wants me to be. So if you're there, I got good news for you. Pack it up and go to where he wants you to go. And if you're not there, I got better news for you. Don't go there. Follow God today, and he'll get you where you're supposed to be tomorrow. Let's all stand together.